gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to a special episode of Ingest We Trust. I'm here with my friend and author, Shivani Jai. In August, she published her debut novel, What's Coming to You, a thriller that will keep you on the edge of your seat and those pages turning. However, 2 years ago, she was laid off from her corporate PR job. Today, her novel has a perfect 5-star rating on Amazon. Shivani, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. First in-studio guest for Ingest We Trust.
Yes.
So there might be some learning curves for the audience who's tuning in, but let's just jump into it. So let's talk a little bit about what you were doing before you wrote this book.
I was a publicist at a pretty well-known TV network. They were launching a streamer. And before that, I was, I guess, what was known as a studio jumper. So I started my career as an NBC page.
Wow.
Shout out to the page program. And then from there, I got an assistant job at Universal. And then that turned into an assistant job at Warner Brothers PR that turned into a job at Fox doing PR there. And then I moved on to Stars and Lionsgate Plus, which was the name of the streamer. And I was doing PR for the studios in Hollywood, movies, TV, streaming content.
Yeah. Very cool. Nice. And that layoff time, let's talk about that. If you're comfortable talking about that time period, what was it like the moment you got laid off? And how did you decide that you wanted to pivot and do something else?
I think, so they say in the entertainment industry, in Hollywood, like, being laid off is like a rite of passage, right?
Mm.
And I had heard that. I mean, they were laying people off at Warner Brothers while I was working there. And I felt very lucky that I had escaped layoffs. And I think I may have even been so cocky as to believe that it would never be me. Because, look, not to toot my own horn, but like, I worked really hard. I was good at my job. So yeah, I don't think I ever expected to get laid off. I think even when it did happen, like, in that very specific moment, the morning that those layoffs were announced, I think I was mentally preparing to be there for my coworkers who were probably going to get laid off. Well, my boss, who delivered the blow, thanked me for taking it so calmly. I think it was like a delayed reaction. And I mean, all the same questions that I think any normal person would have are like, what's going to happen to me financially? Like, I don't think I was, again, I didn't actually think that this would come for me ever. So I never prepared for it. I did not know exactly what I was going to do next at the time that I got laid off. There were things in my life that needed attention. And I guess like the silver lining of the layoff was that I was able to give my attention to those things.
Mm-hmm.
But writing was not one of them. It was actually when some of those family things were settled is when I sat down. My layoff was in July of 2023.
Wow.
I started outlining What's Coming to You as just like sort of this idea
in July 2023.
In actually March of 2023.
Wow.
But I didn't sit down and actually start writing until September of 2023.
Wow.
It was literally, I remember it was September 1st. I took September 4th off to go see Beyonce in the Renaissance. And then, after that, every day I would just write. I finished the first draft by New Year's Eve. That was my goal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And folks, like, just seeing that journey outline happened in March of 2023, publish happened in August of 2025.
Yeah.
It is a long journey,
it
so just keep
journey.
At it. Yeah, consistency is definitely key.
Yeah.
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 So when you first started writing the book, what did you envision was going to happen with it? And we can talk a little bit about, you know, what it was like querying in agents as well and the self-published journey. But yeah, so let's just start with, when you first were writing that book, what did you see as the vision for this? Did you feel like this was the next step that you wanted to make back then?
I think it was a feeling of like, well, I have the time and I have the idea and that's what I have. So,
yeah.
While I was writing it, I'm going to probably sound like so like delusionally like high on myself as we talk about this, but I think as I was writing it, I was like, I'm going to write this great book and every big five publisher is going to want it. And
yeah,
it's just going to blow up and be the next Gone Girl. I really did think that.
Yeah.
At least at some points. There were definitely points like in the writing where I was like, I might be writing the cheesiest book of all time.
Why?
This might be a really dumb idea.
Why'd you feel that way? Let's talk about that. Why'd you feel that way?
Well, you know, the thriller genre has some very savvy readers. Mm. And I think that there are certain tropes, in the thriller genre that you have to embrace to satisfy the reader. And then there's like striking that balance of, did I embrace this too hard?
Oh,
is this like formulaic? Is it predictable? Is it boring?
Yeah.
I think also like as artists, because writers are artists,
yeah.
like words are our medium.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's normal to go from being like really high and in love with the art that you're making and also like coming way down and being like, this is the dumbest book ever.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was just, it's a natural part of the process.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally. And so let's talk about, you know, you said that you wanted to get published by one of the big five. So what did end up happening? So let's talk a little bit about what that process was like querying agents.
Yeah, that was a roller coaster. So I finished the first draft of What's Coming to You in December of 2023. I had told a friend that I was writing a book and she'd connected me with a friend of hers who had written a book, and she was the one who actually, because I didn't know that querying was how you did it.
Right
Like I didn't know how you did any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to meet some people along the way who just gave me great information on purpose and accidentally. But in January of 2024, I sent out my first 10 queries for my first draft of What's Coming to You, and within 2 weeks I had 7 responses.
Wow.
And again, like, I think that just like fueled my delusion about how I was going to write like the next greatest psych thriller of all time. I mean, at the end of the day, they were all passes, but they came with some great feedback. And like, I think it was such a blessing to have that response in the beginning because it kept me going.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was a nice little like signal from the universe, because you and I are like woo-woo girls.
Yes, absolutely.
That I was doing the right thing. I gave it 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, in hindsight, 3 months is like lightning speed for the querying process,
right,
as you and
right.
I both know, because
yeah.
like, I think even as late as August, like I stopped querying in January of this year.
Wow.
And in August,
mm-hmm.
like the month I published this book,
yeah.
someone got back to me.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. It is, in my opinion, like criminally speed.
Yeah. Sometimes. No, agreed. Agreed.
But anyway, so yeah, I took it on January, gave it 3 months. I took the feedback from the agents who did come back to me.
Yeah.
They didn't all necessarily give me actionable feedback.
Mm.
Most of them were just like, oh, it's not grabbing me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good, but it's not great. And
yeah.
so I just took that and was like, okay, I closed the querying window and I went back to my manuscript and I gave it a look over with fresh eyes, because
yeah.
I had not looked at it in 3 months. And
right.
I was like, okay, where is this only good and where can I make it great?
Mm.
And so at that time, I also enlisted a beta reader.
Oh, nice.
To read it from the outside, like, who was not me, to also. And I asked her the question too. Like, we had a brief conversation and I was like, where are you getting pushed out of the story? Like, what's not making sense?
Love that.
Where are you just falling off? Like, just read it as like a whatever. It's not necessarily what you like and don't like, although yeah, tell me that, but like, what is working for you and like what isn't?
Yeah,
you know, that person gave me some really great feedback, and again, it was just like a page of notes, but it did trigger like a whole rewrite.
Wow.
I think I started writing again from April to June.
Okay.
I did another pass at the entire manuscript.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I took it out for, I actually think I took it to Manuscript Academy.
Okay.
And I met with an agent there who was supposed to read it and give me, that is a separate conversation. It was a very disappointing experience, which we can talk about. I think what I got was a skimmer, which is unfortunate because when you go to manuscript or, you know, places like that, you know, especially as indie authors and people trying to, you give not an insignificant amount of money for feedback from people who are in the industry. And I think, I forget exactly what the detail. Oh, there was a big mistake in the first 30 pages, I want to say, because I had originally set the story in Tennessee.
Oh.
And then in this rewrite, I moved it to the Pacific Northwest, Washington State. But in the first few pages, I hadn't quite cleaned up the transition. So sometimes there was like some mentions of Tennessee still.
Yeah.
And she didn't even point them out to me.
Oh, wow. That's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And she did say it was predictable, which was my worst nightmare.
Oh.
But I was just like, okay.
Yeah. Right. So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's like,
right.
I know you weren't like really, truly reading it if you missed this huge thing that I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, like when you're writing something, like you're fully invested.
Yeah.
So when you're like, I want to say like in the lab with somebody who's a beta reader, whoever, you expect them to be as dialed in as you are.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unfair.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we're paying someone, so I think that.
Well, but the money aside, I think that if you are offering to do that for somebody, like,
lock you should in. Care about it. You should care about it, right?
Yeah. But anyway, I don't remember if I actually got actionable notes from that session to rewrite it again, but it did. Because she was so unimpressed with it, I think I took, when did that happen? July, and then that meeting happened in August.
Mm-hmm.
September, I went to Charleston and I spent some time with my best friends and didn't think about it at all. And then in October, late September, I came back to the manuscript and then read it again with fresh eyes.
Always important.
Yep. And I read it critically, like from, as if I were that age. I read it as someone who was gonna hate this book.
Wow, yeah.
I read it really critically. And ended up doing another rewrite from October to December. That was rewrite number 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then by then we were in January of 2025 this year, and I took it out for querying again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like laughing because the first time I took it out for querying a year prior, I had gotten all of these responses, and now I was 3 rewrites later, and I knew I had written a better book.
Yeah.
Every time I did a rewrite, the book just got like better, stronger.
Right. Yeah.
And I was starting to meet other writers who are like, it's really rare for writers to like their own work as much as you like it. I was like, but I do. I like it. But anyway, I didn't get any responses.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely crickets out there. But I knew that I had written something that was
worthwhile. Yeah.
And then of course, so that was like, again, I gave it 3 months of querying, January, February, March.
Yeah.
You and I went to the LA Times Festival.
Yes. Of yeah.
I saw so many people there who were self-publishing and they looked great. Like what people who self-publish and really take the time to look at the details and invest in like polishing it visually and like getting a good cover and like all of that, like you can really see the difference. And I just saw the whole spectrum of self-publishing and all of these people at the festival of books. And I think I heard like a voice in my ear just saying like, forget about querying now, like Yeah. Third time is it's the opposite of the charm. Bet on yourself is actually what I heard. And I said, okay, bet on yourself.
Yeah.
That was April. I spent the rest of April finding a line editor to help me and finding a cover artist and like doing all of the things for indie publishing.
Yeah.
When I started working with the line editor and when it was on me to self-publish, it actually gave me like a brand new set of eyes,
ooh,
like almost like a like marketing eyes,
yes,
instead of just writing eyes. Because now I was like actually reading, like when I was pursuing traditional publishing, I was like, somebody else is going to look at this.
Yeah.
Somebody else is going to look at this and be the last line of defense before it goes out to the world. And they're going to catch all the things that make this imperfect. Not that my, like, no book, no piece of art is ever completely perfect. It's just you decide when it's done.
Right.
But because I was indie publishing now, like, the last line of defense was me.
Yeah.
And so, again, like, that just brought me back to the manuscript with a fresh set of eyes. So that triggered rewrite number four. Which only took 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I was working with my line editor. We had chopped the book into four quarters. And so every week she would look at a fourth of it, make her notes, send it back to me. What I was hoping would take 4 weeks ended up taking, I think, 7 weeks.
Wow.
And then with the cover, what I was hoping would take a month ended up taking almost two.
Oh, my goodness.
And for a person like me, that just...
yeah,
traumatizing. I hate when things take longer than they have to, and I hate missing my own deadline.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, I'm trying to publish by the end of June, and then June became the end of July, and then finally we settled on August 8th was my soft launch, which felt like a very lucky day to be landing.
Lions Porter.
Lions Portal.
Astrology girlies.
I didn't choose the Lions Portal. The Lions Portal chose me. it was a Friday. I soft launched on Friday. And then on Monday, August 11th is when I made the announcement that it was out. And the reception after all of that work, really just mind blowing. I did not expect for people to be so excited about my indie publishing job. I thought maybe like my closest friends and family would be like, oh, good job, Shivani. But then like in the first week, I sold almost 100 copies.
That's amazing.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's incredibly successful. And I want to talk about like hone in a little bit more about the indie versus like big publisher kind of routes.
Yeah.
Because we've had some conversations around querying where it's like, I remember, you know, I went to this writer's workshop over the summer, and one of the, you know, sessions that we had, a guy who owns a small publishing house, he was like, you know, in your query letter, say that you're willing to buy the first 500 copies, because that's going to put you to the top of someone's list, because that shows that you are invested in your book and yada yada yada. I remember we had this conversation and you opened my eyes, because it was like that money that you're spending just to have a big publisher even look at your stuff, you could just be investing in yourself, right? Like, what's the point of going to a big publisher when you already have to come in with a huge monetary investment as well as social media followers?
Yeah.
When instead you could invest that money back into yourself. I know you talked, you know, you mentioned the LA Times Festival of Books we went to earlier this year. Now we're going to likely, you know, we got to get approved still, but we're going to be in it next year.
Yeah.
So it's like, and we're going to be selling our own books in it next year.
Yeah.
And that is a monetary investment where instead of like begging an agent to even, you know, breathe my way, saying, hey, I'm going to spend, because, you know, 500, you know, 500 copies, that's like, could be nearing $10,000, right? Yeah. So instead of being like, hey, someone please look at me, now it's like we can use that money to get our booth at the LA Times Festival of Books, be able to purchase our own copies, sell them, you know, make the money back on our own. So yeah, it's so interesting to see how maybe big publishing is not the best route to go. And there have been quite a few successful self-published author. So I have a few up here. So the biggest one that I think is most topical right now, because it is an Apple TV Plus show, is Silo, originally published under the name Wool. Throwing it back, Paradise Lost, self-published. And then a little bit more recent, Rupi Kaur, Milk and Honey. That was a huge book. She self-published that. How incredible is that? So we've been talking a lot about your journey and the process of writing and the process of getting published. Let's talk a little bit more about the actual story. So if you have your log line or a short synopsis, and then a little bit of the inspiration of why you even decided to write this story.
Yeah, my log line is something that I worked very hard on and is escaping my brain right now. But what's coming to you is a story about a dangerously charming narcissist. I know we play it pretty fast and loose with that word, but I did write him with the intention of him coming off as a narcissist. But anyway, it's a dangerously charming narcissist who sort of just leaves this wake of damage with like every woman he comes across. And of course he meets what someone I would call a dangerously hopeless romantic.
Ooh.
And shenanigans ensue. But yeah, it's a story about love gone wrong and obsession and thinking you got away with things that you won't. And it's definitely about revenge.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say, even though it's a love story at the heart of what's coming to you, I definitely think that I channeled a lot of my anger about my layoff into the character's journey with Mari. Because, you know, she's someone who gives her all to a relationship. I was someone who gave my all to my job. And then to be, you know, the corporate dangling carrot to be, you know, led along by that and then just so unceremoniously laid off.
Yeah.
I had a lot of anger about that. Mm. And I think even in my first query letters, which maybe was a little too personal, but I even said, like, you know, I was a Hollywood publicist for 13 years and I was laid off and I channeled my feelings into letting this character exact their revenge on, you know, the person who took it all from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that because it shows why you're qualified to tell the story. You know, I love that. It's a motivation.
I was worried it might have sounded a little bitter.
Jaded, yeah. Oh my gosh, that is too good.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, we're about almost 2.5 years from that layoff, you know, way over 2 years from when the outline happened, past that 2 year mark from when you started writing it, and now we're about 2 months out from when you originally published it on Amazon. Are you happy that you got laid off? Or do you feel like this was the necessary thing to happen in your journey for you to go in this new direction and find maybe your true life purpose?
I've been asked this question before.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to say thank God I got laid off.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, with the way the world is set up right now, layoffs are incredibly destabilizing, right?
Yeah.
They're incredibly destabilizing. I was fortunate that it was just me. Like, I don't have a family to support or anything like that. I made pretty delicious lemonade.
Mm.
But I frankly, maybe I'll get there. But I don't feel gratitude for being handed the lemons.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
And I don't want to give credit to the company that laid me off for handing me those lemons.
Yeah.
Just because I made some bomb ass lemonade.
Right.
But yeah, I think that if you play a layoff right, anytime life offers you a shakeup, there are opportunities to be found within it.
Yeah.
Once you stop reeling from the changes that have destabilized you.
Yeah.
I am grateful to have survived this period. I'm grateful to have been given the time and space to pursue writing, which, as it turns out, kind of feels like maybe the thing I should have been doing all along.
Right. Yeah.
I'm grateful that my book is received so well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy that I got laid off.
Yeah.
But there were blessings in the outcome.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. All right. Before we wrap up today's episode, if this were a movie, who would you want to play Mason and Mari?
Okay. So for Mason, I think his name is Billy Magnuson. He's like a great, he's done some like musicals and stuff. I don't know. I've seen him do these like,
Oh, him. Yes.
He was sort of, his face was in my mind as I
was that's a good one.
Thinking for Mason. And he's done these like unhinged performances.
Yeah.
Really well, and he's, you know, handsome and all that.
Yeah.
For Mari, I'm not sure because, well, she's half Indian and I don't think that there are any mainstream Indian or even half, and forgive me if there are and they're just not coming to mind.
Yeah.
Or they're of the right age.
Right.
But I think it would be really cool.
Charlie XCX. I'm kidding.
There's an idea. Does she want, is she interested
in acting. Is she available? Right.
Yeah, I think she could do like psycho horror. I think she, that's a great idea, actually. Charlie XCX would be interesting. Yeah, or like, I don't know, it would be cool to create an opportunity for like a newcomer.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Well, this was such an incredible conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show and
for having me.
First in studio guest. So that is a reminder. The book is called What's Coming to You by Shivani Jai. You can buy it on Amazon. We will have a link in the show notes. Any last words before we go?
If you do happen to read it, leave us a review, because reviews make all the difference for indie authors in helping other people find them. And for those people who are still turning their noses up at indie authors that they are not of a certain quality, those reviews change everything. So
exactly.
Review your books.
I love it. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. And thank you for listening to another episode of In Jess We Trust. I'm your host, Jessica Johnson. See you next time.
In Jess We Trust.
Gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.